Brothers and sisters, I have a number of things to share with you today. There's a few of those are on inserts. We have a response song. We also have some notes from the sermon. But I'd like to begin with something that Lee Chan prepared for us. You'll notice that the cross is now without any cloth on it. There's no flowers there. And so we are coming to a place where we would remove that, and also we can remove the cross if we could leave it there. We could remove it. Sometimes we move it away. But the main thing is that we understand why we do these things, why we drape the cross. And I'd like to just read some things that give us a better understanding of that. Okay. So first of all, why do we drape the cross with cloth? The tradition of draping the cross, steeped in rich history of the church, has provided a visual reminder of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension for centuries. Today we are reminded of the ascension of Jesus Christ being glorified into heaven, being lifted up in the clouds. What meaning do the colors represent? We're talking about flower colors, but there's also colors that go with the drapes that we put on the cross. Local churches that practice this tradition typically use three colors, purple, black, and white. The purple cloth represents Christ as King, reminding us that Christ is our Savior and King, and we are mere mortals saved only by His grace and mercy. The purple cloth remains on the cross from Ash Wednesday to Maundy Thursday, and this is the season of Lent. Okay, so that's the color purple. The black cloth represents the mockery, suffering, crucifixion, and death of Christ and what He endured. The black cloth remains on the cross from Good Friday through Holy Saturday, the day Jesus was in the grave. And then the white cloth represents the resurrection of Christ. So how long does the white cloth remain on the cross? The white cloth remains on the cross from Easter Sunday through Ascension Day, about 40 days, and that was last Thursday, so the cloth has now been removed. Ascension Day marks the end of the 40-day period during which the risen Jesus walked on the earth, teaching and loving His people and preparing them for the coming of His Holy Spirit. This is the reason Grace Church keeps the cross draped with white cloth for 40 days after Easter Sunday. So thank you to Lee Chan for providing that information to us. We're getting a lot of teaching on days, first from Esther about the suffering and waiting and things like that, and now we also see that there are other things, but it's really connected to what the Bible teaches us, and it's a part of our lives, and we're also very blessed by these symbols that are helping us to equate, right, the colors and the cloth with the Bible's teaching on the events that are in our Bibles. So we're blessed in that way. Praise God. And now we'd like to take a look at this important lesson that we have in the Scriptures today that Chris just read for us with a very excited voice, which it is exciting, which was the ascension of Jesus. He was with the disciples for 40 days, right? He was with them and teaching them the ways of the kingdom. He spent time with them. He revealed Himself as being risen from the dead, spending time with them and showing them all, including His hands and His feet, that He was the crucified Christ, risen from the grave. And then, as per the Scriptures, He ascended into heaven in front of them. There's a verse I'd like to read, actually in 1 Timothy 3:16. I wasn't going to do this, but I think it's worth taking a look at it. Verse 16 in 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. Taken up in glory. That verse is a very important verse. You can mark it down on your sheet. By the way, I've given out I don't know if we have enough, but you'll have to maybe share one with someone else, but there is a sermon notes, the important meaning of the ascension of Christ. And so we're going to go through this together, and we're going to read the Scripture today to be able to learn this Scripture and the meaning of the Scripture for us today. But it all begins with the exaltation, and so it was very fitting that we had songs today that urged us and brought us to the, you know, bringing our voices out to sing exaltation to Christ, right? Do you remember the, if you were here early enough and you saw there was a video that said, open gates so the King of Glory might come in? I don't know what you ever thought about that before, but it's actually the gates of heaven receiving Jesus Christ as the risen Savior, the one who had fulfilled the mission on earth, being received in glory into the gates of heaven. And it's with this beautiful music and singing, and he is received back into glory from whence he came. He came leaving that glory in heaven and all of the praise, and came to the broken earth that we live on here, and was killed, right, for our sakes on the cross, rose from the dead, and then ascended back into heaven, and he was received with a hero's welcome into heaven. Can you imagine, right, the thought of all the people looking down from heaven, right, all of these heavenlies, the people there, the Father in heaven looking down and seeing Jesus the Son crucified in the most horrible way, dying on the cross for our sakes, and having to witness that, but then seeing him being raised from the dead through the whole power of the Holy Spirit, and then appearing to his disciples and to many others, and then raised up in the clouds, right? And then received in through the gates into the heavenlies. And that is what happened there, right? Can you imagine if we were to see Jesus now with, and coming into our church, and that is what we do here. We are imitating heaven. We are imitating the worship of Jesus in heaven. And so it's never going to become dull. It's never going to be without color. It's never going to be without meaning. We come in as we are, but we are lifted with Christ from the mundane, from our everyday lives, from the sufferings, from the things that we go through. We are lifted because Jesus Christ is the conquering King. He is the conquering King. He is the one who came and saved us. Right? And this is one thing that we need to always remember, whether we're going through, you know, elementary school or middle school or high school or college or beyond and into our workplace and every place that we go, we must always understand who we are in view of all the things that Christ has done for us. We are more than conquerors in those situations that try us and bring us down and help and cause us pain. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus because he has effectively saved us from death and given us eternal life. And that is what we do here. And that is why we need to come ready to worship when we come in through these gates. We are imitating Christ coming in here, right? We are coming in. We are imitating. We are one with Christ. And so we lift up our voices and we praise him and we come expecting great things. Amen? That is the best way to celebrate any day that is of remembrance like today, that we are all recipients of Jesus Christ's forgiveness of our sins and set free to live for him forever. And one day we're going to be experiencing that. We're going to be in heaven with him. You know. So what I would like to do today, having read that, first of all, let me go back and just read a couple of Psalms. It's in a fulfillment of what the Word of God has told, right? For Jesus to be brought back into glory in this way. And it's in the Psalms, right? We heard it in different ways, but there's in Psalm 47 this week, we read this, clap your hands, all peoples, shout to God with loud songs of joy, for the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. Right? And then in verse 5, God has gone up with a shout. Do you understand? Do you see the connection with the ascension? That it's all being lifted upwards. And so we have no excuse to be feeling like we're going to walk around like this. We are part of the family of God who is glorified. We belong to the God of glory. We're not drooping flowers. We are powerful flowers because Jesus is powerful. And he lives in us. And so it's very important that we show that to the world, that we are more than conquerors. We, yes, do we go through problems? Yes. Do we have failures? Yes. Do we fall short of the glory of God? Yes. Yet he loves us, and he died for us, and he rose again, and he's bringing us with him, and we are there with him now. That's going to come up in the scriptures that we have. Right? If you look in your bulletin that was read today, it's the same thing. Psalm 24, 7 to 10 in the call to worship. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift up your heads and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. He was received into heaven, and that is what we rejoice in, and it's that connection, and that is the reason it's so important for us to look at the ascension, because we are more than conquerors. We are people that are saved. We are giving the glory of God working in us to shine and to be able to show people that God exists, that there is hope in this world. There is hope in this world every day. Regardless of what happens, God is greater than anything that happens to us. He is our King. Right? And so there's different psalms that speak of that. Psalm 110 as well, but I'm not going to read any more of that. But I want you to understand, first of all, the exaltation of Christ is so important. He was raised up in glory. Right? When we think about the cross, he was raised up on the cross in glory. Right? For the people that nailed him on the cross, they were all thinking, we got him, we killed him. He's being shamed, being up on the cross. But because he's the King of glory, he was raised up even on a cross. Even on a cross with his hands nailed to the cross and his feet nailed to the cross. It was glory, the glory of God. What was it? What was in that glory? The love of God to endure such pain, to endure the cross for us. It was glory of God that was in view. Amen? It's not a defeat. So why are we defeated? Death, where is your sting? There isn't any. It has no power over me. I may lose my life, but I am going to be in the presence of Almighty God. Right? And so what I'd like to do now is for you to take this sheet. Okay? Does everybody have one? If you don't have one, you're looking at me like some people don't have them. Can we share? If you don't have one, raise your hand. Because you're going to need it. You're going to have to read, okay? Everybody okay? Do you have one to share? If you don't, please don't sit there and pretend like you do. You're going to need it to read. Are we okay, Lee-chan? We're okay now. Okay, so Don, can you please sit with your wife and read hers? And then we'll be good, because we're all going to do this together. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to use a very useful means. It's just imitating the psalm that we just read. Who is this King of glory? It's Jesus Christ. He is the King of glory, right? So there's a question and an answer. This comes from the Heidelberg Catechism, and the Heidelberg Catechism came from Heidelberg, Germany, a very beautiful city in Germany, but there were people there who said, how can we make the beliefs that we have in Jesus Christ and in the Bible clear to other people so that they will have the answers that they need? It was really beautiful, really wonderful thing, and there's about 126 questions. And we have a few of them for this day. And each one of all of the questions are assigned a Lord's Day. And this is Lord's Day number 18 because of the Ascension. Okay, so there's a question there. And the question is, how does Christ's ascension into heaven benefit us? Good question, right? What does that mean? What does it mean that Jesus was ascended? Well, I just told you that part of that is that he was exalted, right? It fulfilled all of the scriptures. There's many other things. But I want us to look at these three things today with the scriptures so that we can have it firmly inside of us. So first of all, how does this benefit us that Christ ascended? He is our advocate in heaven before his Father. He is our advocate in heaven before his Father, the Creator, right? So let's read Romans 8:34 together, all right? 1, 2, 3. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Amen? So he's sitting at the right hand of God. He's received through the gates. He's at a place of glory, sitting at the right hand of God, the Father, and he is interceding for us. Esther was interceding for her son. She was interceding in prayer for Jacob. And so we are also learning from Jesus Christ what that means to intercede for other people. We have a prayer of intercession, don't we? Right? Every Sunday we have a prayer of intercession, praying on behalf of other people, lifting up the needs of people. But that is one of the main things, the benefits of Christ ascending into heaven. He is there to intercede for us. And this is amazing. Let's read the next verse and then we'll talk a little bit more about that. 1 John 2:1. Let's read. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So Jesus is advocating for us. He is for us. He sees what's going on in our lives. He intercedes for the things that we are troubled by. He intercedes for us when we sin and fall short of the glory of God and is there to intercede and say, I have died for them and they believe in me and so they must live. Right? And so there's this continual intercession for our behalf in the lives that we are living here. Right? And so when a person is praying to God for someone else, that request is going to Jesus Christ and then he is praying on our behalf to the Father. Right? And so there's these things that were put into place by Jesus being our advocate in heaven before his Father. The most touching and most powerful ways for us to understand what Jesus is doing when he intercedes for us is in his prayer while he was still here on earth. Remember in John 17, there was a prayer that he prayed on our behalf for his disciples and also for those who would come after him. And he prayed for three or four things, okay? First of all, Jesus said, Lord, I'm going to die. I pray that you would make them one. So Jesus is interceding in heaven, praying to the Father that you and I would be one, that we would be of the same mind as Christ Jesus, that we would not fight, that we would not be causing this oneness to be challenged that God has brought about through his Son, that just as Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one, we are to be one. And this is one of the greatest things that he is doing, is interceding there and praying to God there, just as he did here on earth. Lord, look at them. They're not one. They're not getting along. They're fighting over this. They're doing this and they're gossiping and they're saying all these different things. God the Father, I intercede on the behalf of the people there that you would make them one, that the love of God would cause us to be one and that we would glorify God together. Isn't that great? Isn't that great that we have someone who is doing that and is looking down on here? Many times when we're going through those problems, we're thinking, what are we going to do? Jesus is there. He's in the midst of it. He's not just waiting for us to figure it out. He is pleading to the Father on our behalf. And so we do well to be close to him and to pray to him for the solutions that we need. And when things go wrong, remember we were talking about this the other night in Bible study, bring your troubles to God. Bring your troubles to God. He will hear you in Jesus Christ intercedes for us. He also intercedes for us when we fall short of the glory of God and we do sin. But Jesus is pleading for us as our risen Savior, as the one who is the King of glory. There's a second benefit for Jesus having ascended. We have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, our head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. Now, this is a little strange wording there perhaps for you, but let's take a look at the scriptures. First, we have John 14:2. Let's read this together. In my Father's house. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? So one time this girl in Germany said to me, if Jesus is so great and he did so many wonderful things on earth here, why didn't he just stay? And she was very like in my face about it. She didn't believe in Jesus. So she said, you know, well, we don't need somebody who just goes away like that. We need someone who's going to be here. Well, he is here. We just learned that he's interceding for us, right? And we're going to know more in the next benefit. But for now, we understand that one of the reasons that Jesus left here was to prepare a place in heaven for us. And he told his disciples that, I'm not leaving you in the sense that, you know, we're going to just be never see each other or have anything to do with each other again. I'm going to come again, and you're going to come, and you're going to see the place in heaven that I have prepared for you. So far, I think that Jesus is pretty remarkable, don't you? I mean, if you came in with no hope today, I think that that's going to change today, don't you? That you have someone who's interceding and is there for you in every aspect of your life. It doesn't matter how bad you think things are, that he is there for you and he's never going to leave you or forsake you. And that also that he went to heaven, a place where there's no more crying, no more sickness, no more any of the things that we see around us here. And we're going to be living there forever with him in glory. What a great way to celebrate this day, isn't it? Right, let's read the next one, John 17:24. This is what I was talking about, this chapter 17 in John. Let's read, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. He wants us to be with him. There isn't any of this thing that my German friend was talking about where Jesus could have been just much better off living here and that he's not really doing anything for us. That isn't it. She's missing the point. The point is that he came here for a mission to save us from our sins because he loves us. He taught us how to live while he was here and that he's going to bring us to be with him in heaven forever. Father, this is what Jesus is praying. I want them to be with me, and he wants every human being to be with him in heaven, that they would be where I am, and I am with them. Let's read Ephesians 2:4-6. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so the Heidelberger folks, when they wrote this, they said, we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, our head, will also take us, his members, up to himself. We are one with him there now. That is humbling. Okay, so that is humbling. That's something to take in. That is not something you're going to hear every day. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I believe in him. And he went up into heaven, and one day I'm going to see him. But do we really practice saying that I am one with Jesus because he rose and ascended and is seated at the right hand of God? I am there with him. We have to understand this connection, that we are not here and he's up there. This is together. We are one with him. And when we are one with him, we are to be one here with one another. We strive for it. We live for it. We dedicate our lives to it. We pour out our lives for God. We pour out our lives in the church. We strive for peace. We strive for love. We strive for grace and mercy. All of these things so that we are one with Christ. And we're showing it. The way that we live. That's what Jesus was talking about. And so when he says that we have our flesh in heaven, Jesus Christ rose in the person of Christ, the one that lived here on earth. But he is also God and he is spirit. And so the two of those are together. And so our flesh here is one with the flesh of Christ there. There'll be some room for discussion today in the class, I hope. You know, let's try to get into that and share what that really means to us, you know, that we are one with him there. Right now, we are in heaven because of our connection to Christ. It blows me away. How could it be, God, that you would look down on me and that I would have any kind of inkling that I am one with you, that you and I are one, that you live in me, I live in you, and that right now I am here on earth, but I am also in heaven because you are in heaven and we are that tight, we are that together. I gotta change. I gotta change the way I'm thinking. I gotta change the way I'm living. I've gotta change more and more, less of me and more of Christ, all of these things so that I can completely understand what's going on there. Let's look at the third on the right-hand side of your sheet. He sends us his Spirit, amen? He sends us his Spirit as a counter-pledge by whose power we seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and not the things that are on earth. You have to understand that the people that wrote these thoughts down were basing it off of Scripture, and they are the ones, these Scriptures are the one that they provide to support what they answer. Right? These are the answers, and they're all based upon Scripture. And so that's why we're looking at these Scriptures they provided to understand what they're talking about there. He sends us his Spirit, the ascended Christ. One of the benefits of his ascending into heaven is that we have the Holy Spirit. Now, it was great that Anthony had this song about the Holy Spirit today, right? Praying to the Holy Spirit, singing praise to the Holy Spirit. We need to do that more. Right? Because overall, people neglect the Holy Spirit. They're afraid of the things that people talk about that are going to make us uncomfortable, like speaking in tongues. But there is so much more than that. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's for us. It is a part of our fundamental faith in Christ. And without it, we are not really truly practicing Christians. Because the Holy Spirit was sent from the Father through the request of Jesus Christ to come down. And that is another reason I can tell my German friend. It's funny that we're talking about the Heidelberger Catechism, and I'm talking about my German friend. But the other thing that she needs to know, right, is that the Holy Spirit is here with us. God is here. Christ is present with us through the Holy Spirit. And it was God's design so, to empower us so that while he is interceding for us and ruling and loving us with the Father there and ruling this every nation, the Holy Spirit is working inside of us and through us as his witnesses into the world so that other people would know about Christ as well. So let's read John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Another helper. Just like Jesus was his help, was the helper. He is now ascended into heaven, but the Holy Spirit is living in us and he's our helper. Do you know how many people need to hear that today? That they have help from God, that they have a helper. Who is going to help me? Who is going to help me to provide for my family? Who is going to help me with this devastating situation I'm in? Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is your helper. You have the power of God. You have to understand what you're dealing with here. We are filled with the Spirit of God, and he's our helper. What could be more beautiful than that on this powerful day, right, that God has given to us? He sends us his Spirit as a counter pledge, right? By whose power we seek the things that are above. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we seek the things above. Let's read Acts 2:33. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. So that was the coming of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming in power. And Peter is explaining these things to these people that were filled with the Holy Spirit and seeing the power of God. But do you see this important word exalted? Therefore, exalted at the right hand of God. Jesus is exalted. He's not just sitting there. He is exalted in that place. It is a place of honor. It is a place of glory. It is not just sitting in a seat. It is a place of prominence for only a king. That is the way we have to think about the Bible. We don't get bored by these things. We get inspired by these things because the Holy Spirit inspires us with God. He lifts us from the mundane. He lifts us from sadness. He lifts us from rain. He makes it the sun to shine. And he makes flowers to bloom. And just like your life, he takes your life and he grows it and blooms it and things that you cannot see In the midst of what you're going through, God is at work and bringing something beautiful. Believe it. Exalted at the right hand of God. Received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes from the Father. He poured it out. And that's what the people were seeing. Do the people today hear about the Holy Spirit from us? Do people today hear what we are talking about here, that God does great things, that God does impossible things, that he has done this? It's great to give a testimony here, but we need to go out with it. I'm not belittling the testimony today. I'm just saying that we have a tendency to keep things among Christians. It's not meant only for Christians. It's meant for people that are living in need of help, that are without the Holy Spirit's power at work in their lives. This past week, I was reading a thing in the news about how these people were saying Satan is everywhere. I'm talking like the newspaper that you just pick up and you look online and you're reading this, and there's this guy saying, I'm a Satanist and I'm going to use AI to be able to throw people off and make them believe all of these untruths. That's what he was saying. And you think that I'm kidding? When I'm talking about these things, that there is a need, that there's forces in the world that are at war with God and that are trying to kill people. Right? It's, we have to understand the situation and also our own position in this world. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22, let's read that. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. And that's what he's talking about when he says as a counter pledge. Right? That's the counter pledge that they were talking about in the third answer. That he is a guarantee, right? And the next one, 2 Corinthians 5:5, let's read that. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. What is a guarantee in life? The Spirit of God is a guarantee in life. There aren't any other guarantees in life. You don't know what you're gonna find. You may be reading that you get a guarantee, but with time you'll find out that it's really not a guarantee, and it's a limited warranty. It's a limited guarantee. But the one with God is eternal because it's coming from an eternal Holy Spirit. It's a seal on you. You want to raise your kids in a way that is going to bring security to them? Teach them about what the Bible has to say. That there's only one guarantee, and that's found in Christ. Let's read the last one, Colossians 3:1-4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things on this earth. For if you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That is amazing, isn't it? Amen? You will appear with him in glory. Glory is the opposite of all the stuff that we see around us in this world. It's all these things that people are doing, and I'm sorry, but, you know, we talk about things with too little of an explanation and too little detail of all of the sin that is going on around us. I'm telling you, we have to be careful the way that we live. We have to be very, very careful the way, first of all, because you can hurt someone if you don't. We are in relationship with one another, and we have to be very, very careful not to use cynicism or things that are of the dark side in our relations with people, because a lot of times what happens when you're young, you can make a mark on someone that will last them through their life. We have to treat each other like we would treat these flowers very delicately and care for them and water them and help them to grow and things like that. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for one another. Not to make fun or to point at people and to say things to them that are going to hurt them and things like that. Lose that. Lose it. Be one with Christ that brings goodness and gentleness and mercy and love into the lives of the people around you. Refrain from saying things or writing things on the internet that are going to hurt people or get sucked into it. Forget it. You're going to go nowhere. There was a children's story that talked about this little kid that got on a merry-go-round. You know, the horse that goes around on the merry-go-round. He got on there and he kept going around and the grandfather just kept on feeding money into it. And so they just kept on spinning around, and the kid, when he got off, he said, "I want to stay on that forever, Grandpa." Right? And the thing is, he didn't go anywhere. And that's what people are doing. They're going on these rides and they're just saying, I want to pour more money into this kind of a life, and they're not going anywhere. But God here today is telling us we have a higher purpose. We have a much higher purpose than that. We're to love people and we're to love one another, to be one with one another. One of the other things that Jesus prayed for his disciples is that they would have joy. That they would have joy. What can we do in our church to be able to help people to feel joy? What can we do that we're not doing? Right? That should be the thing that we spend our time on. How can I do something so that I can use the gifts for the Holy Spirit that have been poured down upon me so that other people will receive the joy of God and have a feeling of being alive and wanting to be alive and feeling good about themselves and wanting to know more about this God who has blessed them so much, right? And that's what he's saying here. You've been raised with Christ, so seek the things that are above. You've been raised up. Don't look down and start messing around with those things that were of the darkness and the other kind of life. You don't want to do that. You want to shine from within through the Holy Spirit's power and make an effect on people in that kind of a way. Do you see the power of the ascension? Do you see what it does? It lifts us. It lifts us. And that is exactly the point that I want to end today with for this chapter. And there's much more for another day. But the thing, what it points out for us, brothers and sisters, is that just as Jesus went in that way, so will we. So will we. We are going to go to heaven. We are going to be lifted up from this place. We are going to be lifted up from the grave. Those who have died will come out from those graves, and Christ will lift them up into heaven with himself. Unto himself. And that is our hope. That is our goal. That is our motivation. That is the truth. Right? And so we don't wallow. Wallow doesn't belong any part of our lives. We go to God and we're lifted up. Amen? We clap our hands. We clap our hands, all you people, because he is good. Amen? Let's do it. Praise God. And so let's